I'm going to make a mistake on this pronunciation. Hassan versus Abu Bakr.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
James Jackson. I represent Nasro Abu Bakr, who is the appellant in this matter.
Do you want to reserve any time?
I did not submit a reply brief.
You can still reserve time for oral argument.
Well,
I would
reserve 2 minutes. Thank you.
You may proceed.
This is an appeal of the trial judge's modification of a parenting plan after trial. It's also an appeal of Ms. Abu Bakr's motion for a new trial. It's an unusual case in that there was a dependency matter pending in the juvenile court while the modification was pending in the family court.
Did the trial court ever enter an order giving concurrent jurisdiction to the family law matter?
The order was entered in the juvenile court, and it's unfortunately not part of the record. And this is the problem that I faced with this case was that I was not aware after taking the appeal that there was a juvenile court proceeding. Ms. Abu Bakr is unable to read or write English. She has difficulty understanding English and, as related to me, had no idea what was going on insofar as the proceeding was concerned. And I did not become aware that until I received a copy of the transcript of the trial that the dependency proceeding was pending at the same time.
Are you aware of what the status of the dependency is now?
The dependency was dismissed after the court determined the
modification. Based on the granting of the modification.
Right. And
was the order of concurrent jurisdiction entered before the modification trial?
Yes, it was. Okay. And this was all represented by Mr. Hassan's counsel during the trial. He'd indicated that there was the pending dependency proceeding, the juvenile court had granted concurrent jurisdiction, and that the matter had more or less been punted to the family court for fact finding. It's the appellant's position that primarily that this is a situation where counsel should have been appointed for Ms. Abu Bakr since she had counsel appointed in the dependency proceeding.
But as far as we know from this record, right, there was no motion made prior to the modification trial or in the context of the dependency case to have the dependency counsel represent her in the modification.
There was none that I knew of, and there was nothing in the record in the family court that there was a motion to have counsel appointed. The only time this became an issue and inartfully drawn was when Ms. Abu Bakr made her motion for a new trial. She did indicate that she was not represented, but again, she, unaware of the law, she inartfully drew it and indicated that she wanted to retain counsel rather than to have counsel appointed for her.
Another area of inquiry for me was in the clerk's papers, there's this DV protection order that was entered.
Correct.
That seemed to prevent Mr. Hassan from having contact with all but one child. I guess they modified it to allow him to have contact with the other child.
Right.
Was that protection order considered during the modification case as to how it affected his claim?
It did not, and I think that was one of the issues that would have come up had Ms. Abu Bakr had counsel. It appeared, based on the transcript, that the only line of inquiry related to Ms. Abu Bakr and her ability to parent the children. No issues were raised with regard to Mr. Hassan other than allegations that Ms. Abu Bakr made while she was attempting to cross-examine witnesses.
Because there is a provision in 26, I forget the exact thing, it says if a trial court is going to enter a parenting plan, you have to go to the database and see what all the other orders are with the parties.
Right.
Presumably, if that had happened, the trial court would have found this DV protection order. But I see nothing in the record that it was raised, argued, or clarified in any way.
Not at all. And it was a huge issue insofar as Ms. Abubakar was concerned. She did not have counsel and was not able to really properly address the issue in front of the trial court.
Is the DV protection order still in effect as far as you know?
As far as I know, there is a DV order in effect, that there is a motion pending, I think September 30th, to have it modified. But this is the DV protection order was affected by a subsequent criminal proceeding against Mr. Hassan,
which he apparently was acquitted of, right? As I read the clerk's papers, he was charged with violating no contact order and then found not guilty.
Right, but then there is one more recent assault action, which of course is not part of the record. It wasn't raised in the trial court because it happened subsequently. Dealing with an assault of a friend, girlfriend, in which he served. I think he was convicted, and he served time in county jail.
So what are we to do with all these matters that are not in the record?
Unfortunately, they're not in the record. These are issues that either happened subsequently or happened in a parallel proceeding, which was not appealed. I have no authority. I'm not aware of any authority that would allow the court to consider it other than the court's discretion. But with respect to appointment of counsel, it's RCW 13.34.090, deals with the appointment of counsel in the dependency proceeding. And as much as the dependency court granted this order, and it's referenced in the record throughout, granting concurrent jurisdiction and indicating, according to Mr. Hassan's counsel, that the family court was supposed to address this issue before the dependency court addressed the issue. It seems that this is because it's a parallel dependency proceeding that the two are inextricably linked, and that under 13.34.090. Ms. Abubakar should have had counsel appointed for her in the family court proceeding. Otherwise, I'll rely on my brief. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning. Kelly Vomack of Mr. Hassan, who's sitting here at counsel table. With respect first to the concurrent jurisdiction order, first of all, that name is a misnomer, as I point out in the brief. It has nothing to do with jurisdiction whatsoever. It has to do with, well, the case law says that Superior Court is one court. There's no different courts within Superior Court.
Well, I get that, but okay. The family, without such an order, however characterized, the modification trial could not have proceeded, could it?
Without the concurrent jurisdiction order?
Yeah.
Yes, because the authority to decide the family law case was allocated, shall we say.
It has to be given. The dependency court, whether you call it jurisdiction or whatever, the dependency court has to give the family court the ability to proceed.
Exactly.
And you're saying there was such an order entered here?
There was a concurrent jurisdiction order in the dependency case. I've seen it. In fact, I have it in front of me. I know that you don't have it.
No.
That order is... I don't want to go outside the record. There are similar orders in other cases, and I would say that this is consistent with other orders. There's nothing peculiar about it.
Do you agree? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
This order does nothing more than authorize the family court to proceed with fact-finding and the modification. It doesn't address the counsel issue at all.
It doesn't address the counsel issue at all. That word is not even in there. I won't quote it, but just to say generally what it says. First of all, it's the father's motion for concurrent jurisdiction. It grants that motion, and it allows the father's petition for custody modification in the cause number to proceed. And then it grants the department's motion to continue the dependency trial until the custody modification is addressed. And then it does some scheduling adjustments. There's nothing else in there.
Do you agree with appellant's counsel's point that the dependency has now been dismissed because of the modification?
Yes, Your Honor. I wouldn't agree with the word because, but it is.
It has been. Whatever it is, the dependency case doesn't exist anymore.
Correct.
It went away. What about the DV protection order and the trial court's obligation to look for other orders before you enter a modification? I saw nothing on that in the record.
There's nothing on that in the record.
What do you know? Were you trial counsel?
No.
Okay. I can't imagine why. Well, of course, she was unrepresented at trial.
I just don't know.
Would you agree that there's case law out there that says that if there's a DV protection order entered, it would be a basis for a 191 restriction?
I would. And there were quite a few, shall we say, 191 issues on the other side as well. Quite a few.
I get that, yeah.
And the trial court, I know we, this is exactly the trial court's role, is to sift through all these facts. But I would say that this trial court was called upon to use its full resources to wade through all of these facts because they were, I wouldn't say anyone in this case had what we call clean hands.
But at a minimum, the trial judge should have, I forget the statutory site. There is a site that says before you enter a parenting plan, you have to go look at the relevant database to see if there's any other orders out there relevant to these parties. And if that trial court had, wouldn't they have found this DV protection order?
If they had looked, I believe they would have found it, certainly. I don't know if they looked and didn't record it in the record.
Yeah, okay.
And if they had looked and found it, would that have necessarily made any difference in the result?
No, not at all, because it's not like that was dispositive. It's not like it was the only black mark against either parent. There was, like I say, there were quite a few issues, and I would say with both parents. And the trial court found that sifting through everything, that these children should be with their father. As to the parallel or the extent to which the dependency case, shall we say, intersected with the family law case, the modification, I did notice as I prepared this word parallel turned out to be interesting to me because that is the word that Mr. Hassan's counsel used at trial, parallel. And parallel actually does not mean inextricably linked, which is what EH says. Parallel actually means the opposite of inextricably linked. Parallel means two lines that run and never, ever intersect. So I'm not saying counsel was using language quite that precisely, but it's the only word we have that describes the relationship between these two cases. These cases were not inextricably linked. The dependency court, unlike EH, did not hand over its fact-finding responsibilities to the family law court in any way. And there's plenty of case law, which I've gone through in the brief, describing that dependencies and family law modifications are simply not the same thing at all. They're very different proceedings. A family law is about the allocation of parenting, whereas dependency and then termination is about whether the parent is even a parent any longer, whether they have legal standing over their child, whether they can be making decisions for the child. It's not up to the parent to modify the dependency order. I'm speaking only dependencies here and not terminations because that's what was at issue. Whereas in family law, it is up to the parents. They can come to an agreement and decide this is how we'll parent our children. And the court will, I think the court probably could object to that, but they really wouldn't have authority to, they generally would not object if the parents find a resolution. Whereas in a dependency court, the court is the one who has all the authority. The court will say, well, you may decide that this is the way to parent your children, but I disagree. And these children are dependent on the state, and therefore the state, the department, gets to decide, or the court itself. Furthermore, in a dependency, with regard to why there's a right to counsel at all in dependency, that's a liberty interest, a fundamental liberty interest. That's not at issue in a family law case. So these cases...
Well, there is a liberty interest. It's just there's no state action involved in the family law case. Because a parent has a liberty interest in the child, regardless of the nature of the proceeding, but it's just there's no state entity here seeking to interfere with that interest.
Correct. There's no state entity. And I would go further to say that the parents are allocating custody and other matters, in this case, most importantly, custody.
So what you're trying to do is distinguish the quality of the interference in the liberty issue. In one, termination of the liberty interest is at issue, and the other, allocation of the liberty interest between parents is an issue.
Correct, Your Honor. Yes.
You say that the dependency court did not turn over fact-finding. Do we have anything to tell us that in the record other than the order that you have that we haven't seen?
Correct. You have nothing in the record whatsoever. You don't even have the order that I just referred to.
Shouldn't we be bothered that the dependency was dismissed after this process was done?
I would say that dependencies, first of all, they are applying different legal standards. And we don't know, but you don't know, but one does not necessarily follow from the other. If it did, I would certainly hope that you would have that in front of you, because it would be a very important fact to bring forward. Dependencies come and go. They're fluid situations. Things change all the time, and I expect they were changing a lot in the course of these dependencies. So I can't speak to exactly why the dependency was dismissed. It may have been because of this, and it may not have been. Other than that, I know the court's not asked about any constitutional issues, but I would say very strongly that there's no gun law analysis. That would be a very important public policy issue if the court were to consider that. It would have, it's just very important for access to justice, as well as it would have, of course, significant budgetary issues. And I think it would invite quite a few more dependency petitions in the course of a family law contest. So I know the court's not asked for it. I don't really think the court is in a position to necessarily reach the merits of the constitutional argument without the gun law analysis, but I would urge the court to not reach that here. It's not the proper, it may be a very interesting issue, but it's just not the proper case for it. Other than that, I will rest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I respectfully disagree with respect to the matters being intertwined. In this case, and this is the only information that we have, are the representations that were made to the court by Mr. Hassan's attorney, which indicate that the dependency court granted jurisdiction and asked the family court to rule on fact-finding. This is what the trial judge did under the circumstances. With respect to this being a liberty issue, the concern is that if the trial court came back with a decision that the dependency court was unhappy with, we know based on what we know that the dependency court proceeding was dismissed after the family court made its decision with regard to the modification. But had it made a different decision, would it have gone back to the dependency court or the dependency court to follow through with the dependency actions against Ms. Abubakar? And rather than it be an allocation issue, she may very well have lost her right to her children, where it would have been more of a liberty issue than it turned out to be based on the decision by the family court judge.
Well, isn't that an argument to keep it in the family court as opposed to the dependency court? Because here she can, if things change, she could file a motion to modify, whereas if a termination was order was entered, it's permanent.
Right. Which, and maybe it was a matter of convenience, but, you know, based on what we know from the record, there's really no indication what the dependency court would have done under the circumstances.
But the risk is certainly much greater. Her downside here is much less than her downside in the dependency than termination action.
True. Thank you, Your Honor.